From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As Congress mulls whether or not to pass another economic stimulus package, data continue to show that the economic crisis facing the U.S. before the pandemic hit has worsened since March. In particular, the racial wealth and income gap has widened considerably. Now, the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities shows that the number of people in families with below poverty earnings has soared, especially among Black and Latino communities. My guest is Danilo Treacy, Director of Poverty and Inequality Research at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. Welcome to the program, Danilo.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So first, tell me what it was that your study actually examined. What are the data and what's the methodology that you used to arrive at your conclusion?
Sure. So we looked at the number of non-elderly individuals who were below the poverty line based on their own earnings or their family's earnings. And we found that from February to May, there was an increase in 50 million more individuals that were in poverty when you just count their earnings. And we also found that the increase was larger for Black and Latino individuals.
So we are hearing a lot of statistics about unemployment, right? We hear that something like 40 million Americans were laid off or furloughed or lost their jobs since the pandemic hit. And is examining the increase in the number of families falling below the poverty line a better measure of economic distress?
Well, in some ways it can be, yes, because we are comparing people's earnings to kind of basic a threshold of basic needs. Although we should keep in mind that we were looking at the official poverty measure, and that threshold is only $26,000 per year for a family of four. So in places like California, that comes out to about $2,200 a month in terms of rent costs and things. This is a pretty low threshold. But we also looked at the increase in individuals and families with no earnings. And that has also skyrocketed. There was an increase in the number of individuals and families with no earnings of 16.5 million.
Wow. So basically, we see by the measure of the federal government's own threshold as to what constitutes poverty, a massive rise in poverty since February, which of course encompasses the majority of months that the U.S. has earned, the global pandemic was declared, that the economy started tanking. But even before that, wasn't inequality in the U.S., at least even by this measure, far too high?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. If we compare ourselves to other wealthy nations, our inequality is much higher, and especially when we look at the number of families at the very bottom in terms of having low earnings and little government assistance to help them. Now, I should point out that our figures here were based on people's earnings. So that's looking at the earnings loss and not counting what government assistance they might be receiving. And government assistance has kicked in and helped many, many of these families. But there's a great danger that this assistance will end before the need really ends. Most projections are showing that unemployment is going to be very high well into next year.
Right. And so we had not only the $1,200 payments to families, plus there was $500 per child, but those claiming unemployment benefits were getting an extra $600 a week, which Democrats managed to push through over the objections of Republicans. And now Republicans want to end that extra benefit by the end of July because they think it's far too generous. I mean, if you do the math, $600 a week, is before taxes, just a little over $31,000 a year. I mean, and how is that possibly considered far too generous, especially considering that in Congress we have millionaires and billionaires, especially millionaires, far overrepresented?
Yes. Yes. I think the need is tremendous and has increased undoubtedly. And Congress should really look at also other ways to help families. For example, there's a proposal to increase the SNAP benefits, which is the program that we used to know as food stamps. And there's a proposal to increase that by 15%. I think that will reach a lot of families that maybe might not be reached by the unemployment benefits or even the rebates. Because for the rebates, you had to file taxes to, for some groups. And that was difficult. And for example, increasing SNAP benefits would reach many more and many of the neediest families and families that would use that money and put it back into the economy quickly. So it would actually also help lessen the recession.
And in fact, on the same day that you and I are talking, there was a fascinating piece that NPR published about how the economy is tanking in part because the wealthiest Americans have stopped spending money, while a lot of ordinary Americans, the 99%, have gone back to pre-pandemic spending levels because, of course, they were primarily spending on necessities. The wealthy, who were primarily spending on luxury goods, have really tightened up their spending, and their spending has accounted for something like 25% of the economy. And so there's a huge decline in their spending having a huge impact in the economy, and they're the ones who are least impacted by the COVID crisis. That's my tangent on this. But going back to the actual report that we started out discussing, which group is most impacted? We talked about Blacks and Latinos. Between those two groups, is one impacted more than the other?
Well, you know, so Latinos, I mean, both have been, if we compare them to individuals in white families, they're both relatively great, expanded to affected to a greater degree than white families. Latinos maybe slightly more under some measures. And it's an interesting thing about Latino families and Latino workers that a lot of them are overrepresented, for example, in food production, right? So they're part of the frontline, kind of essential workers, but a lot of them are also overrepresented in a lot of the sectors that were hardest hit, like hospitality, hotels, and restaurants. So we've seen that the number of families, of Latino families without earnings, has increased the most compared to any other group.
And so these are also, of course, racial groups that had been disproportionately hurt by our current economic status before the pandemic hit. There was always this persistent racial wealth and income gap that was not going away. And then you have a pandemic like this. And I imagine that essentially we had an existing crisis exacerbated.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's kind of the in some ways, the most worrisome thing about when we're looking at these data is that Black and Latino families already started with higher poverty rates. And we've seen those families increase their poverty rates even more when we look at their earnings. So I think we're hoping that Congress will pay attention and craft a bill that will really help those most in need. There's a lot of talk about a $2 trillion package coming that Congress will consider, but the big question is about whether that money is really going to go to those most in need. And those individuals that will actually spend that money quickly and that will actually help the economy more compared to some kind of tax cuts that are probably ill-advised during any time and during a recession also.
You mentioned earlier that food stamps, the SNAP program is one that a lot of families are increasingly relying on. But we had seen headlines with the Trump administration wanting to cut food stamps even as the pandemic was hitting. Where does that stand right now?
So I'm actually not 100% sure on exactly where that stands right now, but the proposals right now, what we need is for the benefit to be increased. Some of that has been stopped, but some of it has not. So what we really need is this next round to actually make the SNAP program even stronger than it is now. And in some ways, when the Trump administration was trying to implement these cuts, what we really need is the opposite. The benefit level that one receives from the SNAP program is fairly small, and it really does reach the families most in need. So instead of cutting, what we should be thinking is about how to make this program more effective and how to have it reach more people.
What is, you know, is Congress aware of these figures? Is this the kind, I mean, we you know, every week we see the number of unemployed, number of people that have applied for unemployment benefits at the end of the month, or usually the beginning of the month, we see the previous month's overall unemployment figures. Those seem to be the ones that Congress pays the most attention to. But parsing into the data like your organization has done seems to give a clearer picture of how economic devastation is impacting people differently depending on their race in particular. Is Congress even aware of these sorts of, you know, of this kind of data?
Well, you know, we do our best to get our numbers out there, and we actually have been in touch. When the report was released, we did get some circulation among the Hill. We did send that report there. So I think, but I think it's, The number of data out there is kind of overwhelming in terms of the increase in hardship that is happening. So I think it is resonating. I think it's more about, I don't think any congressperson can really, with a straight face, not realize the increased hardship that there is there. It's more about getting them to pay attention to and actually act on it. And I think we need them to pay attention and actually prioritize these families.
Now, of course, there are plenty of Americans, and even before the pandemic had been plenty of Americans who were working full time, but still having to rely on government assistance because their earnings fell below the poverty line. You know, Walmart workers in particular come to mind. That's one company that has often been singled out for how much its workers have to rely on public assistance. But in the wake of the pandemic being declared and the mass layoffs that we saw, is there any way to know if people's earnings went up because of the government assistance, because of that extra $600 a month that Congress appropriated?
Yes, we will know that, but not now. In these data, this is the monthly data. We can only look at earnings. So that's why we focus this report on that. Down the line, we'll be able to have data that combines both kind of people's earnings and government benefits.
And it seems that that is such a direct way to put money into people's pockets. One of the, as we discussed earlier, one of the ways in which to ensure that people don't fall through the cracks is to continue that unemployment benefit. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on the logic of Republicans who want to cut it off at the end of July. They're saying this is a disincentive for Americans to work. Can't corporations just offer higher salaries to incentivize workers to actually take the jobs that they're offering?
No, for sure, for sure. And I think, I mean, the issue that we have now is that the economy has kind of shut down for good reason due to the pandemic. So people, we need these benefits. Once the economy starts activating again, once people feel safe to start doing what they used to be doing and workplaces open like they used to, then that's what's going to reactivate the economy, right? What the concern is now that people will go hungry and that people will not be able to take care of their kids, pay the rent, right? So, and these benefits are doing that. And that's kind of what we should be focused on. People will go back to work once the economy starts getting back up again.
Since the data that your report is based on covers February through May, wasn't that also the time that some essential workers, where Blacks and Latinos are overrepresented, weren't some corporations giving employees hazard pay? I mean, it seemed like it was incredibly modest hazard pay, something, you know, on the order of about $2 extra an hour. Some corporations we know have already ended that hazard pay. But did that have any impact on people's bottom line?
Well, I think these data show that kind of the overwhelming impact that we're capturing is families losing earnings and the number of people in families with no earnings at all increasing. So that's kind of what's driving this specific data and this specific finding of this large increase of non-elderly individuals and families without any earnings.
Do you think that there is a relationship or a connection that we should be making between the data that your organization shows and the Black Lives Matter movement? I mean, we basically have a situation today where there's a mass national uprising based on the fact that Black people are disproportionately targeted by racist policing, but they're also disproportionately targeted by the economy right? Which in turn has deep impacts on their health and the systemic underlying health conditions that are directly the result of poverty also make them more susceptible to diseases like the coronavirus.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot that hopefully our nation's at a point right now where we are kind of looking at systemic racism globally, right? In terms of all the intersections. And I think we need poverty and inequality and the racial divide in terms of the opportunity that we give kids based on, in some ways, based on their race, right? The lack of opportunity that kids in community of colors get is an issue that we just need to focus on. And I think this kind of period right now should be one where I think a lot of questions are getting asked, and we should be tying these different issues together because they are very interrelated.
Right. There is a deep interconnection between poverty, race, police brutality. All of these issues are intertwined. And you don't, unfortunately, hear those connections being made often enough in the corporate and mainstream media. Danilo, thank you so much for joining us today. Give out the website for Center for Budget and Policy Priorities.
www.cbpp.org.
And we'll post a link to that as well as directly to the report from our website. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Danilo Tracy, Director of Poverty and Inequality Research at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. We'll be discussing a new report about how the number of people and families with below poverty earnings has soared in the last few months, especially among Blacks and Latinos. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.